Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spillers After Show podcast, voted Best Podcast 2016 by Phoenix New Times Magazine. I'm Brian Dunn, and this episode is Spillers' own Robert Hookman Jr. reading his short story, The Ginger Man, live at Spillers No. 7 on March 14th, 2017. Enjoy.
First, I just want to say that the story is for all of the people who have read on the Spillers stage in the past. The story is about them, and the story is for them. He's not even all that ginger, really, the man they call the Ginger Man. Some say he got his name by way of the leftover hint of the red gelled light that hangs over the stage and a few feet in front. Others spill a myth about hair dye and how you can tell because his roots are darker, more brown than orange, more gray than copper. A guy at the bar with a Hams in one hand and a Schlitz in the other swore he'd known the redheaded stranger in high school and that he was all blonde then, sick in lust with a girl with strawberry tips and matching cheeks. I think it's the other story, the one I heard last week, about the bar he used to frequent, where he sat most nights a week, without a word, without a friend, without a woman or a man or a dog or a wish, just sat, just waited, just drank, just that. The place was called the Ginger Man, some say. This is how the world will go down remembering him, the Ginger Man. It'll be a question no one settles, a bar bet no one can disprove. It'll be years from now, a decade maybe, a dark night, a hot night, and two friends with plaid shirts and draft cocktails will ask where he is now, and they'll Google that shit and come up dry and sit speculating all damn night long like bros do. That'll be how he goes down. I saw him the first time 4 months ago, the same way everyone else does. From a barstool view, from the couch against the back wall, from the dartboard, from the end of the bar, his head hanging low enough to keep his eyes and forehead in shadow, that red glow, with his voice slithering into the open wound of a bar, crawling with men not yet old enough or experienced enough to earn their beards, and women too young to give a fuck. He crept out like always, the lights went down like always, the music dropped like always, then went silent. And he wrapped his fingers around the mic stand, held the pages up into the light, and then stood, framed there, still, quiet, for what seems to most people like a full minute, a full, long, what the hell is this guy waiting for minute. Then he spoke. It was no rhapsody about beauty he came to deliver, no tormented retelling of a strayed lady, a broken man, a dragged-down old soul with the insight of 1,000 philosophers if only he'd get through this and learn the lesson. Nothing like that. The Ginger Man came to tell about God and the way a dangling lock of hair looks in the firelight, and how he'd once chosen a girl over a life, and then a life over a girl, and then a slow death over everything. He said he was dying. He said he'd died at least once already. He said it was all true, that nothing was true. That was where it ended. It was 10 minutes and out. 60 seconds times 10 and back into the darkness, back to the green room, back out the back door, back to his reclusiveness somewhere in the city, this giant mean-ass city. That's what we all assume. No one ever sees the Ginger Man after he leaves the stage. No one knows his name. No one has uncovered his social media profile, or found a byline online, or uncovered an old story about the man someone else called the Ginger Man. We all tried. We all wanted. He plays the Dancing June once a week, Tuesday nights for 10 minutes a dance. His instrument is a stack of pages a few pages deep. Typing paper, cold, white, speckled because it's all recycled now, 8.5 by 11, plain Jane typing paper. The ones who get there early and stand in the front row swear they can see through it, that it's not printed, not typed into a computer and then grappled out of its paper tray after a fight with $30 ink. They swear it's all first draft, all typed straight from the clack, clack, clack of an aged machine, each line bearing the marks of a misaligned key or two, an extra space once in a while, an X'd out word, not often, but sometimes, not often at all, but yes, they've seen a few. They swear by these stories, these drooling descriptions, the ones begged for and hunted down by the bohemians in the back, the short girls who couldn't see through the cowboy hat standing in their sight lines. The Dancing June isn't a place where people are nice and self-aware and accommodating. It's a place with shitty beer and fried food and that one red light. The one that hangs over the stage and a few feet in front. The one where he stands, the ginger man, every Tuesday night for 10 minutes of dance. It started a year ago. A bartender called Russ struck up an open mic night, and three guitarists tried out their Eagles impressions. And a poet fueled by teenage angst and Johnny Depp style spat out his future regrets. And then he rolled in, the ginger man, and said nothing and asked no one and wrapped his fingers around the microphone. And he read. And maybe it was a line, maybe a paragraph, maybe a page, and maybe it was nothing at all, but the room fell for him. It drooped and crawled and stooped and bowed and then begged. The ginger man had something in his fingers, in those pages, those typed pages that seared a man in the second row, gutted a girl in the back, kicked a regular by the door. No one remembers what he said. No one who's here now was there then. It's all conjecture and legend. I've done the digging. I've made the phone calls. I've texted and searched and met with and asked and paid for the facts to corroborate the bullshit that lingers around the ginger man, lingers like a fog made of stale beer fumes and smoke. No one who's here now was there then. Maybe it started like those things start. Maybe it started as a dot, a speck, a lonely fact that spawned two more, that spawned a thread, that spawned a story, that spawned a game of telephone where no one really knows anymore and no one cares. Maybe a man read one night, and maybe one person wanted to know who he'd been, where he'd come from, and maybe no one knew, and maybe it happened more than once. And maybe a sad guy with some typed pages and no social media profile or byline became the ginger man. Because the world dislikes a thing it can't name and destroy. It dislikes things that want to be left alone. It didn't stay that way. It didn't remain a small fact, a lonely truth someone told someone else. It became something else. A crowd began to gather. The ones who wanted to know more brought friends who wanted to see for themselves. They brought their smartphones and Twitter accounts and their eager fingers that couldn't type out a quip quickly enough or frame a photo any faster. Instagram streams collected just a few at first, then five, then 36, then it was 45 minutes before you could get through them all. All those little bits and pieces and quotes and slivers of fandom all pooled into a line under the hashtag Gingerman, like it was planned, like it was the next meal, the next drink, the new art, the new way, the new evolution. The dancing June put up a rope divider, the kind that separates the people outside from the better people inside. The dancing June bought a bouncer. The dancing June charged a cover. The dancing June kicked off Ginger Night. The dancing June put it on the calendar. The first piece to go public was in Rolling Stone. It used words like enigma and obscurity and rock and roll. The New Yorker had a different take. It used well-placed commas to call him, this man, the ginger man, by names like The Shadowed One and The Unpublished Bukowski. It commented, like sophisticated magazines like to comment, about the sweaty walls and the genuine and gritty bathrooms and the trembling hands of the wanting fans. It said nothing of the work, not the words, not the typed pages, not the clack, clack, clack of the aged machine. The first interview was supposed to be on primetime. Rumor was that so-and-so asked the owner to ask the ginger man to show up, to bring his work, to reveal himself, to answer a few questions. Rumor was that he might show up, the ginger man. They rolled commercials. They wondered. They played up the tension. They added fine, fine music to rattle our chests and shake our salivary glands. At 7:09 p.m., no one had caught even a whiff of ginger in the air. They called the whole thing off. The anchor had to vamp for an hour. He was no Bukowski. Tuesday night, there he was, all lit up and no place to go. He stepped into the red light, the lone red light, and glowed for a full minute. A full, long, what the fuck minute. And he read. And the photos came, and the quips came, and the questions came again. Who was he? Where did he come from? Where does he go? They came until there had been enough. until the ones who listened turned their ears away. The ones who saw looked elsewhere. The ones who yearned and fawned and hoped felt the fade of a lost love, a settled anxiety, the end of a song. The Instagram streams collected a few less at first, then five less, then 15, then 36, and then there was just less. The Dancing June set lists of drink specials on their tables a week out, a ginger nut cocktail, a specialty fried food, just for this, just for him, just for us all. Nothing helped. On Tuesdays, the ginger man glowed, and he read, and we listened. The few of us. The dwindling few of us. And he spoke of God and the way a dangling lock of hair looks in the firelight. It was always about God, the way things are always about God. And he said he was dying. He said he had died. He said it was all true, that nothing was true. When they get to him, those rags, those dirty dailies that like to name and destroy things, when they ask where he is now, when they ask that in 5 years, in 5 months, in 5 weeks, they'll talk about the sweaty walls, the bearded men, the short women. They'll recall the glory of the moment, the tint, the smell, the shitty beer. They'll forget a few things. They always forget a few things. They'll forget that he's died at least once already. They'll forget that he still wraps his fingers around the microphone stand. They'll forget that he glows in that lone red light, the one that hangs over the stage and a few feet in front. He glows. Thank you.
That was Spiller's own Robert Hookman Jr. reading his short story, The Ginger Man, at Spiller's No. 7 at Valley Bar on March 14th, 2017. For all Spiller's After Show podcast episodes, go to spillersaftershow.com. For more information on Spiller's, the voice of Phoenix fiction, go to spillers.net.